Welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action, a new show produced by Channel 88.1 FM, and we are tickled you set your dial to that. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of this show, and we have been talking about vocations, and like I said, we are going to make sure you continue to listen because we are going to talk about an event later on, but you'll just have to wait and just be patient. Patience is a virtue. So with me in the studio is Sister Fidelis Marie Lanowitz, missionary Benedictine sister who resides here in Sioux City, but the mother house is over there in Norfolk, Nebraska. First segment, we talked a lot about your background, and we kind of stepped away just as we were getting you ready to enter the novitiate.
Right, yes. So the process is kind of you are a postulant for about a year, year and a half. And again, this kind of varies depending on what order. And then novitiate is about 2 years. So postulancy and novitiate is just kind of getting like more ingrained into the life, and it's like a slow entrance into the life. We have like a certain area in the monastery where the initial formation lives. They have like their own little wing, and they have recreation together and come to community for certain recreation periods. And the jobs, they're like moved around a lot in the monastery. Like every 6 months they can be like in the sewing room, the sacristy, the kitchen, gardening, housekeeping. So they're kind of learning the ropes of like what this is all about. So it's about 3 years, and then first vows, which are temporary, and that lasts 5 years. And so during the juniorate, when you're a junior professed sister, you get moved to one of our out mission stations locally. So again, you're seeing like what the other houses in the area are like, the other convents, and your ministries are a little bit more active, more outside the monastery, all while you're having classes in the monastery, classes on vows or our congregation history or the charism of the community, stuff like that. So it's like a deep immersion into the life. And then because we're international, before final profession, a sister would have about a year overseas exposure to one of our other locations worldwide. And so it's about an 8-year process until one makes final vows, that final commitment. But it's great because you're living the life, but you're doing it like step by step, because initial formation is still a discernment process for the person themselves and for the community to say like, okay, is this a really good fit now that you're living the life and you're here permanently in the monastery? So I appreciated that, even though it sounds like a lengthy process. If you would have asked me year 4, are you ready to make your final vows? I would have been like, nope, not ready. So I appreciate that it gives the person, there's no rush. It just really lets them find deep roots into what they're doing before they say their final yes.
And tell the listeners a little bit about your name.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. So we have a tradition that you, for first vows, you receive your habit and your professed name. Final vows, you receive your ring, your profession ring. So you can submit 3 names in rank of what you prefer to the prioress. And then the day of your profession, when she says the name in front of everyone, that's the first time you hear it. It could be one of the 3 you've selected or one she chose herself. But Fidelis, I knew I wanted to change my name, and I knew I wanted it to be something Latin. So Fidelis is Latin for fidelity. And I am obsessed with John the Baptist. He's the love of my life. Him and Maximilian Kolbe, I have 2 loves in my life. And Jesus, obviously. But yes, and so just he's been a big patron for me, and I just felt like fidelity really summed up who he is as a man and the qualities I wanted. It also reminds me of our vow of conversatio amorum, to like always be faithful to this continual conversion of Christ. And then Fidelis Marie, of course, for like Our Lady, and Marie was my baptismal middle name, so I wanted to like keep a part of my baptismal name. So yeah, it just has a lot of meaning. And then you have a feast day attached to that, like whoever you're named after, the feast is what is celebrated more than like your birthday. So John the Baptist, cause he's so amazing, he has 2 feast days. So he has his birth and his death. And so I actually picked not the solemnity of his birth, but just the memorial of his beheading, because I just love him so much. So yeah, so August 29th, the beheading of John the Baptist is my name day, and it's after him.
Okay. So we talked a little off the air about the challenges in women discerning that maybe they're called to the religious life, no difference than men discerning. And what I've noticed over the years is how society has kind of changed in what they value. And certainly years ago, the call to the priesthood and religious life were valued, that parents encouraged young people to consider that. And I kind of use the analogy, I taught for 16 years out at Western Iowa Tech Community College, and it was hard to convince parents that that was a good place for a child to go, because they all wanted them to not work as hard as they did, and so they perceived the trades and blue-collar jobs as not as much value. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of, convincing. To convince young people that this might be a good fit for you, when their parents were saying, you know, we really want you to go to a four-year college, right, get that Bachelor of Arts degrees and maybe a master's degree. So what is going on now in which it just doesn't seem like people in general do not value the idea of a call to the priesthood or religious life?
Yeah, I think a lot of times people think, and this had happened to me when I was discerning, you know, family, friends, or just coworkers, think that you are going to like waste your life or like waste your gifts and talents. And it's so been the opposite for me. I've learned so much about myself and talents and gifts I didn't even know that I had, just through the exposure of different ministries and different things maybe the sisters asked me to do. And so I think there's maybe a fear that if I do this, I'm going to be wasting my life, or there won't be value and purpose in it. But it's quite the opposite. If the Lord created you for this, it's going to be the thing that brings like the most joy, also the most challenges, to like help you grow into the best version of yourself. But it's going to pull something out of you, like really bring forth things that you're passionate about, because the Lord wants to satisfy the desires of your heart. And I think perhaps often maybe people in our culture are not even aware of what their real desires are and giving space for the Lord to speak into that. So I think a lot of it just kind of stems around a fear of like, what happens if I say yes to this? Or can there even be a value in it? Because they're not really aware of like what it is they're seeking after anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, if listeners are thinking to themselves, oh, you know, I know this young woman and I think she would thrive, you know, in the religious life. Like you said earlier, you know, what's to do? It isn't like, you know, you can call up the vocations office, or though you could,
right.
to absolutely call the vocations office in your diocese, folks, and just approaching even a young woman and saying, you know, I have a sense that you would thrive as a sister or a nun. So what to do?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is prayer, for sure. Like praying for the person maybe you think you see something in. It can kind of be a touchy thing. Someone can get really inspired if someone says, hey, I see something in you. Have you ever thought about being a sister or about being a priest? Some people can also get really turned off by that. So I think it just depends on the person and like your relationship with them. But perhaps like investing in them, investing in someone that you see might have something there, and helping like support them and like cultivate what it is you're seeing, and maybe to be able to like observe like, hey, I see these qualities about you, and like God's just gifted you so much. Like, perhaps what do you think like the Lord is inviting you into in this? Or like, have you ever considered this or that, you know? But kind of like taking it with the person and like seeing what the Lord may be inviting you to say to them, and how you could like help nurture what you see in them. Because often we don't see it ourselves. And when you discover it yourself, it makes like a really big impact, versus someone maybe just saying it and then you're like, oh, I wish they didn't, you know, like say something like that. But again, I think it just really depends on the relationship you have with that person.
And let's kind of segue in case there's a young woman who, for some reason, has punched 88.1 FM and hearing us talk. And she is thinking to herself, you know, I've thought about it, but I'm hesitant.
Right.
One of the things I've noticed when I've interviewed other sisters, priests, permanent deacons, that they said the thing that seemed to have changed with them is they started just to go to Mass. And somehow that helped in the discernment process or adoration.
Yeah.
Would that be a parallel?
Absolutely. I think because vocation stems out of your relationship with the Lord, whatever vocation he's going to call you in. So like the more that you pursue him, the more he's going to open doors and bring clarity and bring peace. So I would say definitely like living a sacramental life, like going to confession, going to Mass, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but also for me, a big part of it was just being in relationship with a sister or a priest, like seeing that they are also human. I think that helps make it seem more normal and natural and less like scary to think about, because you're like, oh, they like this or they like that. And maybe I could do the same thing because they're not on this like untouchable pedestal that like I can't relate to. I think when you are able to relate to the priests and the sisters, and you can see yourself maybe in their position as well. So getting to know if there's sisters and or priests in your area, like being able to like have lunch with them or pray with them or go visit and see what their life is like, making it personal.
Sure. I mean, relationships are so important. And I know you and Father Shane Demon, who is our director of vocations for the Diocese of Sioux City, often go out and chat with young people, middle school. And when you're chatting with them and afterwards, you always have somebody come up because they're a little hesitant to talk in front of the big group, especially the young women. What do they say to you that their concerns are because they think maybe they might be called?
Yeah, I think it would be just what will my friends think, or I don't know, like I also really want to have kids. So I think it's just being able to speak into those fears at one, okay, that's normal. Like don't like jump ahead of the grace, like do what you can for the state of life that you're in. And so if you're in middle school and high school, like keep pursuing your relationship with Christ. Noticing like what about religious is attractive to you, like can you name it, can you articulate it, like why is this so attractive, and being able to see how the Lord is like working in your heart in that way. But I usually just try to calm any fears they might have and be like, hey, that's normal, like we're all gonna be drawn to married life because that's the natural vocation. But and also to like say it's not between like choosing a man and God, like God is going to be in any vocation. And I think sometimes middle school or high schoolers, if they have a really deep prayer life, they feel like, well, if I want to get married, that means like I can't have that deep prayer life, so I must be called to being a sister. And it's like, no, you can have that deep prayer life when you're married just as well as like when you're a sister. So it's kind of like being able to speak into what their personal fears might be and just assuring them that they don't have to put all the pressure on their on themselves to figure it out, that God's going to journey with them and he's going to send people in their lives to help them discern and help find clarity in it.
Let go and let God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listeners, again, time is a thief in the radio business, and we are going to have to take a short break to give a shout out to our sponsors, our underwriters, and do some public service announcements. Like I said earlier, we have an event that we are going to promote in the second half of the show. And you can write this down. It is, the event's going to take place September 19th. It is a legacy father-son retreat for middle school boys and dads. And Father Shane Demon is going to talk a little bit more about that. But so if you didn't get a chance to get that pen, pencil, paper, or your phone to put that in, you will have an opportunity when we come back. So I want to thank my guest in the studio, Sister Fidelis Marie, who is a missionary Benedictine sister. Thank you so much for coming in, sharing your story and your insights about the call to religious life.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So again, listeners, I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of this show, Faith in Action. So stay tuned. We will be right back.